Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Listen up, fart heads. Put your ball earrings on and take a trip down reanimation lane. We saw Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives, so you know what that means. Hey, everybody. Now it's time for California on Friday the 13th for a very special episode of the show. We have gone into the future and we have seen what Jason becomes when we watch Jason 10, Jason in Space. And now we go back to a simpler time, the year 1986. Where Jason is just a reanimated corpse. If you've never seen a Friday the 13th movie, have no fear. It doesn't make a fucking lick of difference. This is not the podcast where we're gonna break down all the horror tropes. I think most of us have only seen about 2 Jason films. The one we did, and the one we're doing. So, We will be fuzzy on the facts. All I know for sure is that the lead actor is a different actor than the one who played him in number 5, and that actor is a different actor than the one who played him in number 4. So, in the course of the 2 years that this movie from 84 to 86, 3 different actors played the lead character of the Jason movie, the same character. It's like the James Bond turnover, but like way quicker. So, to talk about this movie tonight, I have an amazing co-host. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, Berkeley? That's right, that's what I'm talking about. What's up, Jason? How we doing, everybody?
This movie is about me. I live.
Jason lives. Jason, how many Jason movies or how many Friday the 13th movies have you seen?
I'm going to ask you a real question because I was just thinking about this as we were watching the trailer.
Yeah.
Have we ever done a Friday the 13th on this podcast?
Yes.
Jason, we have.
Jason 10, the one.
Yes. Right. Okay, yes. What is Jason? I remember it now. That's the only other one I've seen.
Yes, okay.
These are the only two Friday the 13th. I realize I'm much more well-versed in the Halloween franchise, the Michael Myers franchise, than in the Jason Voorhees franchise.
I'm the same way, but with Phantasm.
Oh, really? The floating ball? I'm like that with Hellraiser. Oh, I could talk about Pinhead for hours.
My mom was really into Phantasm.
What?
Yeah.
What? How? How, no. What? How did your mom find Phantasm?
I don't know, but it scared me. She's like, you want to watch Phantasm with me? I was like, no.
That, Paul, that's an opportunity to like cuddle up and smooch. that's like what you do when you want to like, you know, pull the move where you yawn and put your arm around someone. It's like you rent a scary movie. You want to watch a scary movie? That always leads to fingering and hand jobs. Speaking of which, Berkeley, who wants to see a scary movie? This audience is not wearing pants.
Jason, I will not finger my mom to Phantasm. Ladies and gentlemen, I say that because of my next co-host right here. She is someone that I am married to. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome. Welcome, June. Welcome.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well.
June, how many Friday the 13th films have you seen?
I think I've seen one. I don't think I've seen the
one
that you're referring to, the 10th one.
Yes.
Was that Space?
It was Space.
Yeah.
You were not here. Rob Hubel was with us, yes.
Okay, so I wasn't present.
You were not present there. Are you counting this film as one of the Friday 13th?
No, I think I've seen one other. I think I saw the main one.
The first one. Well, here's a fact. I was under the belief that these movies started in the 1950s.
I heard you say that. That's wrong. And I can say that with confidence, not remembering a single thing about that movie.
All right, well, there's a gentleman out in the audience that wanted to correct me. Who had the correction?
Paul, I'm going to just caution you.
I think what you're confused about is I think Jason died in 1957.
Got it. Okay.
In a body of water.
Yes.
And then in the first movie that is set in the early 80s, he is awakened in Camp Crystal Lake.
Which is where he...
That's not the first movie.
Oh, okay.
I have the whole...
This is already a debacle.
I already have... I think we might have done this
the
exact same...
The only two I've seen are 6 and 10.
You've I have definitely seen the first one.
Almost certainly not.
What do you think... Wow. Happened? Like, what's the big twist? Because I do know the big twist.
It's a camp-based movie, right?
Yes.
So it's like Meatballs with a serial killer?
Yes.
The first one is a camp-based movie?
Yes, it's like Sleepaway Camp with no dick.
With no dick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, Sleepaway Camp. I'm sorry. I thought you were just referring to the concept of Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
Forgetting, of course. You know our minds get wiped at the end of every show. That's the only reason we can keep doing this is we've got one of those Men in Black machines that's just like, nope.
All right, so...
I don't remember quite, but something happened with his mom.
Wasn't there
they reference it in this movie, but I didn't remember
that. Wasn't there one of the movies where his mom was the killer?
That is the first movie.
That is the first movie. Isn't that the twist?
Yeah, it is the twist.
Yes.
That is the twist. Guys, we're only in it for the twist.
So I'll just walk you through the 4, 5, and 6 because they kind of work as a trilogy here. Because Jason,
thank you, Paul, because otherwise I don't know what's going on.
Basically, you know, Jason, the first one's the mom. Jason is not a zombie really until this movie. This is the first one, which is kind of a crazy moment because he is brought back from the dead like Frankenstein. But here's what happens in the final chapter. Jason is brought to a morgue. He kills everybody there.
I'm sorry to go back. When you say he's not a zombie, so the young boy dies in the...
And then his mom goes around killing people. But she's not wearing the mask.
Here's my question on that. Because her son dies due to negligence at camp. How does he become a full-grown man?
This is where I am only going to be guessing. I don't know.
Assumption would be this movie should star like a 13-year-old boy who's on a revenge murder, senseless killing spree, right? How does he age? How does Jason die at camp
and become
a murderous 6'4" machine?
According to my notes that were compiled by Nick Kyle, it says in part two, Jason is revealed to be alive and a fully grown man and returns to Camp Crystal Lake to
guard. Oh, so he didn't die. His mother was wrong?
All right, well, let's go to this one guy who I feel like has all the answers.
I'm going to say right now, this is a mistake.
All right. Okay, why is Jason a full grown man?
They never explain it.
Never explain it. Got it, right?
All right.
And
I'm just amazed that he knew that question was coming to him, and he got up with such confidence.
And then I'll ask you this. So from two forward, it is Jason.
No, in five, it is an imposter.
Okay. And then in five, and then in six, are we reviving Jason or the imposter?
Jason.
Okay, got it.
Can I ask the guy a question? Are all the movies canon? Are they all telling the same progressive story, or are there outliers like Halloween, Season of the Witch?
I was being honest. They do dovetail. Like they take place moments after the movie, right?
They do. In five, there's a bit that they sort of retcon in six, where the main character murders somebody at the very end.
Like Tommy was supposed to be our lead character was supposed to be the new Jason in this film, but it tested so badly, they're like, no, Tommy will still remain the hero. Because Tommy was played by Corey Feldman in four, right? And then in five, he was played by somebody else. And then in six, he's played by this guy.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It was supposed to be Corey Feldman in five as well, but he was doing the Goonies, so they had to rewrite it.
Got it. So there was going to be a little kid. Because Corey Feldman is small.
Hold on, Paul. Go back.
Wow. Okay, cool, Paul. Shots fired at Corey Feldman.
At the time of Goonies, he is a child. I'm just
super
saying.
Super cool.
He is not as intimidating as someone Jason.
I want to understand, though. Okay, two questions. My first question is, we keep on saying he's like 13 or 12 years old. Like, he should know how to swim. So how old was this kid that he couldn't swim at the age of... How old was he at the time of death?
Now, hang on a second. Right. As like a asthmatic child who had trouble swimming, here's what I'll say. When I went to Boy Scout camp, like swimming was a real no-go for me.
Okay, now I'm going to speak as a former counselor, and here's what I'm going to say. I cannot be expected to keep 12-year-olds out of the water.
Whoa, you're
that is
dead,
beyond.
June.
It's not about out
you.
Of the water. It's while I'm in the water, are you watching me or are you getting your shit serviced by Cody or whatever his name was?
Listen.
Listen.
Listen. I wouldn't expect, unless I knew you had a special bracelet on, like a I'm not water safe bracelet. I would assume that a 12 or 13 year old was water safe.
Let me be clear. I was a kid who went to Boy Scout camp wearing a special bracelet. That is not a lie. It said severely allergic to eggs, comma. My bracelet had a comma, asthma.
Well, then, let me just clarify one thing.
Still alive, San Francisco, still alive. They tried to take me out.
Meanwhile,
this guy's still hanging out.
Okay, wait.
Was he 12 or 13 when he died, or was he a child?
Well, he didn't die. He came back in two. But...
So was he just hiding for all those years?
Why did his mother think he was dead?
Theoretically, well, I don't think they were planning on making the second movie. They needed a reason to bring him back.
But in the world of the first movie, how old do you think he was supposed to be?
So in the 50s, he was 13 or so. He wasn't wearing a bracelet. He wasn't wearing a bracelet, but he was clearly a special child.
Okay. And was he allergic to eggs?
They definitely made that canon.
You know what?
Being allergic to eggs would make me want to murder,
but I didn't.
Well, all right.
This movie was based on my life.
One more question.
I am the Jason who inspired this Jason.
One more question.
We're still laying the groundwork for this episode.
We have not started this. Guess what? No second show. We can go as late as we want.
Here's another question. So, in the beginning of this movie, we're at a gravesite, and there's a headstone.
Well, this is what I want to get into.
Okay, so is this the grave
of Jason?
Well, I know it's the grave of Jason, but is this the grave he was buried at as a child, even though I understand he never died at 13? Or did someone in the other movies bury the man-sized Jason? And if they did, who made that headstone for him?
All right. Well, I can answer this.
Okay.
I can answer this.
Do we need a chair for this guy on stage?
Yeah. We may have to bring him up. From what I understand, it was referenced that Jason, the killer Jason, the boy who has lived, kind of like Harry Potter, but different, he was cremated. But then for this movie, they kind of forego that, and his body is buried, which leads me to believe who paid for that funeral. We don't know. And this is a funeral of a straight-up serial killer, and they seem to have buried him in the outfit that he was killing people in.
Definitely.
So he was not in any sort of penitentiary garb, and the person who buried him said, well, just keep him in the jumpsuit. Like, I'm not going to pay to put a suit on him. By the way, that would have been so much better if he was in, like, a Sears suit walking around. I would have liked that.
So why does lightning striking...
Well, this is the big...
Bring him back to life, but, like, bring him back to corporeal form. He is, like... he has been eaten away by the maggots and the everything in the earth, and the lightning hits, which I get, like, could bring him back to life in a zombie way. I like that. But it, like, replenishes his body back to full strength and health.
He goes from literally having maggots... living in his face.
He is a hollowed out husk of a monster.
Yeah.
And then he is just back up, being able to put the mask back on.
He should really be fully decomposed at this point.
In the beginning, when Horshack opens the fucking coffin.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way.
Which is a better cameo? Horshack in the beginning of this, or Drew Barrymore at the beginning of Scream?
No, I mean, it's young Tony Goldwyn in this movie. I mean, I'm here. I am here for young Tony Goldwyn in this movie.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Here's what I'm going to say. This movie starts off very weirdly, because you're thrown in with absolutely no
finish. It also finishes weirdly, and the middle is pretty weird.
Yeah. All of the above. You are thrown in, and you don't know what's going on. The actors have changed. They don't lay down any sort of exposition. All you know is that they're going to go kill Jason, and it seems that that plan even changes multiple times, because it seems like Horshack is in on the plan, and he's like, wait, you want to dig him up? Well, yeah, Horshack's that's why you have the gasoline thing in the back. Is that part of the...
Horshack is carrying two shovels on his back when he goes, all right, have you seen enough? Should we go? What do you mean? You're carrying shovels. What did you think was going to happen when you got here?
They are not paying attention to each other, and then...
Their communication is all wrong.
I mean, they escaped the mental institution, so maybe it makes sense. And then...
Wait, you think Horshack was in the mental institution with
him? They both were, yes.
Oh, I missed that connection. Aw.
His way of trying to kill Jason was bizarre. It was like, I need to see his body, and I need to send him to hell. Because only if you burn a body can you be sent to hell, I guess. That was the plan. I think that was the plan.
I thought he just needed to see it.
Okay. I'll buy that. They also bring gasoline. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to open up that casket. He sees it. He's like, that's not enough. Now we need to burn it. Unfortunately, it's during a thunderstorm. And he doesn't bring a knife because you stake adjacent like a vampire. And he's already dead.
He's already dead. It doesn't matter. Here's what I'll say. At the end of this five, we see that Tommy is set up to be the Jason of the next movie.
Right.
And in this movie... Tommy essentially is the Jason. He is responsible for every death in this movie because
Absolutely.
He brings Jason back to life.
Absolutely.
Everything was
like,
fine.
Tommy should die. He is the villain.
I also think that Sheriff Mike Garris is a little bit to blame. He is not really taking in any information. He's made his determination.
He's like,
you're Jason. Wait, this guy is not bloody. He doesn't look disheveled. It's like, you've killed 17 people. I know you have no blood on you and you don't look. And I've seen you 17 times tonight, but I'm pretty positive.
His and his daughter Megan's relationship was fascinating. It was... sexualized in a way that like only horror movies of this era had. Like when she picks up the phone in the police station and says, oh, he's in the other room draining his lizard.
I didn't
That's
like that.
Her father.
There's also, I mean, this is also a time where like teenagers look like they're 45 years old. Like it's so confusing because she looked like I was just like, oh, that's Laura Linney. Like,
not that there's anything wrong
day.
With 45-year-olds and that they can look very young and very youthful even.
Okay, but Jason.
Even 46-year-olds.
But there
absolutely.
Is a...
For sure.
You're absolutely
absolutely
right.
True.
Yes, but there is a freshness and innocence.
Yeah.
Yes. That
still
every...
with plenty of life to live and to give.
Yes. Time's not ticking at
Time
all.
Is ticking, I have been told, a lot.
I will
but
say,
it was just so disturbing because she looks his age. There's not...
They seem to be contemporaries.
They seem to be contemporaries, which was really throwing me.
They had more romantic chemistry, Megan and her father, than Megan and Tommy, period.
1,000%. When they kissed each other through Megan and Tommy, through that those jail bars, I didn't care for that.
It was unsettling.
I didn't.
It
like
was
it.
Not sexual. It no. was not satisfying. It seemed to me to be a kiss. I felt like, are they trying to pass a key between their mouths?
That's what I thought too.
But that's how not sexual it was. It seemed transactional.
For sure.
And Tommy's eyes open like, ooh, boy. Like,
because, well, at first I thought it was transactional, like something's being passed. And then I thought, okay, an object's not being passed, but there's some sort of like Jason-esque energy that's going back and forth between them. Again, not sexual energy, but some sort of like weird, creepy, supernatural energy.
I just was wondering what she wrote down on that pad, because it was a very elaborate plan to just
couldn't
flash him like, boom. And you're like, got it.
And that was, and okay, so we all couldn't see that, right?
No, yeah. No.
I thought I rewound it twice. I was like, yeah. Is this a bad cut? Am I watching the wrong version? Like, shouldn't I be able to see what she's written on the pad?
I was worried about the aspect ratio or whatever.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
I thought
that I had enlarged it
yes.
by accident and was losing yep. part of the screen.
She must have written a small paragraph there. Boom, get it? Got it. All right. Because the plan was, let's get into a fight. I'll throw my thing. You'll pull me close, we'll kiss, then the cop will come and break it up, and then I'll take his gun, and then you take... Like, that's a very complex plan. That's like an Ocean's 11 heist that she quickly doled out to him. But also, I gotta say, I love the daughter. I thought she had the most
Megan?
Life. Yes.
Yeah, she was
she
great.
Had a great life to her. I was like, more...
I will say this. I loved a lot of the counselor that generation... I loved
Sissy.
Sweatpants, suspenders, and a shirt on top.
Okay, Sissy's outfit.
A shirt on top of suspenders that are holding up rolled down sweatpants? This is next Sissy. Level.
Sissy's outfit we need to talk about. Oh my God.
What is this? What is, okay. Her friend is wearing an entire thrift shop worth of clothes.
Well, you also talked about not understanding what our teenagers...
Sissy's wearing suspenders under a crop top t-shirt. Why?
Everybody is wearing suspenders in this movie. You talked about the teenagers not being representative of their age. Do you remember that section in the movie where they just randomly cut to a couple making out in the cemetery? And he's like, I don't want to have sex tonight. I have a headache. And he's like being coy.
Yeah, what was that?
She's like wearing a Laura Ashley dress and like a tank top underneath like a sundress. I'm like, what's
okay.
happening here?
Well, we could talk about this for a while. We've already talked about this t-shirt under sundress thing needs to shut down.
Yeah.
It's coming back, Jason.
It's not. It
it's
should
back.
Not come back. Just because we're all watching Friends on Netflix doesn't mean we should be putting full white t-shirts under slight spaghetti-strapped sundress.
I don't disagree, but it is happening. So I thought that couple, this is what I think is successful about the movie.
Okay.
There are a lot of scenes from these characters on the fringe who get killed that were really fun and kind of funny and
Agreed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And like the whole paintball setup, the dynamic between those
Great.
Two guys, where one of them says, every time we come out here, you act like a different person. I was like, oh, wow, this is such a specific, strange relationship we've been dropped into where this guy, like, puts on this persona to play paintball with his fellow coworkers, and I'm so interested. And I know they're going to die within minutes, but in this terrible movie and franchise, like, there was this weird care taken, which again I thought was great for some of these other characters.
I really liked, because I wrote the same thing down, that there were, that it is, and I didn't know if, because Jason Space was not like this, were the other movies kind of vignette-based like this? Like you would be dropped into people's world, follow them until their death, and then move on.
Well,
which
you'll
never think
enjoy
about them again.
This,
yeah.
You know, I like
this
that.
This is, in the horror, world, this movie has a lot of connections to Scream, as a matter of fact, because the director of this was actually offered to direct Scream first.
Oh, wow.
Because him and Kevin Williamson got along, and he's like, oh, you did some funny stuff, because there is some funny stuff here. The movie opens up with a James Bond parody. Jason is now reanimated from the dead, and then he walks across the screen like James Bond. Here, I'll show it to you, and slices.
No, there is a bunch of visual jokes that are, yeah, that are juxtapositions of images that are themselves very funny, even though they, like, there's one that I wrote down where somebody says, like, what do you think, I'm an idiot or something? Yeah. And then it cuts to all the kid campers going, yes!
Yeah.
You know, and it's, there's a bunch of like, oh, does he think I'm a fart head? And it's fart all head. The campers go, yes! In the next edit. And I was like, this is smart. Like, they're doing funny stuff in this.
And then they don't fully commit to it, because then sometimes it just goes back to straight up Jason movie. I think that's like the hard part of it, is that you constantly are like, oh, is it, we're making fun of it? But then they treat it very seriously. It was a hard tone to get.
Well, it's hard. I mean, Jason, I'm scared very easily.
You were very scared. We watched most of this movie in a car.
Yes, and I know the driver of that vehicle was concerned.
Yeah, because you go, oh God, what? No. Oh.
Now, all that's true.
I think we should release bonus episodes that are just audio tracks of you listening to a movie, because I'm assuming you're wearing headphones.
Yes, I had
earbuds. I would like there to be an audio track available on this, like, you know, on our feed,
yeah,
that is just syncs up with you watching the movie, so that I could be watching the movie and then listening to your commentary track where you're just also piping, oh God.
I mean,
there were some... I'm a human. I get startled.
You are. That's good to know.
I get startled, and I'm easily startled. I don't know what happened to me.
Well, you watched a movie called...
There were a couple of major events in my childhood. Well, I found out that when I was an infant, I had a lot of major scares happen.
Were you the kid that they based that little girl on in the campground? Who found
maybe
the machete?
Maybe. I had a giant cabinet fall on top of me, just like major startling at a very early age. And...
Can I ask what you did to piss the cabinet off?
I've been told that I crawled up like one shelf of the cabinet and the entire thing fell on me. So I think I was I think I felt scared at a very, very young age. I mean, I guess women are just scared of men hurting them and murdering them. But
you also
so maybe
get
that's just,
angry.
Maybe that's just a baseline. But okay, so
you will get angry though, because I've seen movies, I've been in theaters with you, where you're like, no, no,
well,
like as if you're commanding the character back.
I remember,
yes.
I will say, I was at Halloween Horror Nights with you at Universal.
The best.
And anytime any of the characters would come up to do scares, you would say, no.
Yes. No, sir. Not
no,
today.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. I see you.
I'm not interested in your scares.
Not right now. Thank you kindly. Move right along. But so I am very easily startled. And yeah, I had some scares in this movie. But I was surprised. I really wasn't. The interesting thing about this movie is it's not that scary. There's nothing. They don't really go for the scares.
This movie seemed to me also to have like... it's not a lot of jump scares. It's a little, and it's also not like super bloody and gory.
No,
like they
not
would
at all.
Cut away from where it, you know, like I felt like he would squeeze someone's head, but like it would cut away to a shot of Jason's face, and you just heard the squish, and some blood would splatter on him.
Yeah,
you wouldn't really see like someone's head being caved in, or like this seems to me to be an effort to take an R-rated franchise and turn it into a PG-13 type of movie.
Speaking of squish, did you hear the condom come off?
What?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
When they have sex in the RV.
How much are you listening to this movie? Did you hear the condom come off?
No, I didn't.
While they were having sex, what, the condom came off at one point?
No, after they had sex, I heard like...
Wait, this was when they were like, she was like dance fucking?
Oh, yes.
Oh, we, I mean, can you, I wrote
I
down,
mean,
can we please play this sex scene? They are fucking in rhythm.
Loved it.
His tank top is rolled up.
You're seeing his nipples.
You're seeing his nipples, but they're not, it's not like his shirt is just tussled. It has been... Systematically rolled up. I couldn't make heads or tails of this.
So we open up on the Walter White van, and this happens.
I mean, look at this. Look at him. You're the best. The best.
And his shirt is rolled up.
Look at this. What is going on here? Like, what is this? And he's moving so spasmatic. He's like... He's...
They're having...
I feel like this person has never had sex.
I also feel like when I watched it, I was like, are they just like kind of like dry humping? I didn't know what was
happening.
It felt like
drying pants.
I guess I wasn't looking that closely at first.
Because you were just listening super closely.
You were just like, hang on, is there a condom on?
I watch all my films.
I can hear. Like I can hear that there's a condom on.
I am like Gene Hackman in The Conversation, just listening.
You know what? Yes. Stop subtly plugging
it's not on the list. But should it be?
Stop plugging
not on the list.
Unspooled.
But should it be? Maybe. All right. So here is the sex scene continued.
I gotta get to the end of the song.
Come a slugger.
It's only 10 more minutes.
By the way, I did have a problem with that. 10 more minutes? What is this, Michael Jackson's Thriller? I mean, there's no
way this song is 10 minutes long. No way.
Unless she's getting the raw demos from the studio.
There's no way. This is basically the Neutron dance, and it is no way longer than 10 minutes. But he has a great take right now. She says 10 minutes. That look is good.
So Jason finds them and cuts the power in their RV. And then he takes off a condom. And then I was looking through the notes.
Wait a minute. No. Play the part where you hear the condom come out.
Right.
That's what I need.
All right. Okay, listen closely.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Court, you didn't already.
Oh, come on. Wasn't that the end of the song?
I thought I heard it.
You thought you heard it?
Paul, I am disturbed.
Paul, here's what I will say. With absolute certainty.
Punch.
Court, you didn't already.
How does it come off? His arms don't move.
Well, anyway, Nate...
You think the condom just jumps off of his dick? Here's my update. These are camp counselors in the 80s. They're not using condoms.
No way.
Wow.
These two people both have chlamydia.
This is where you are wrong, because what Nate Kiley has found out was the director did add in a condom sound effect.
What?
And he wrote that he wanted to make sure that he was showing
safe
sex. Tom McLaughlin was like, I added that in because I wanted to make sure that I was promoting safe sex.
Well, then why didn't he add a shot of like a condom wrapper that's been ripped open and is being used?
Because it's for
like,
eagle,
what is the sound of a condom? That's the t-shirt.
What is the sound of a condom?
That's a forerunner for a t-shirt. Front runner.
So that's that.
That was later. Because how many people are here with the person that they're going to fuck later? Later, I just want you to say to your partner, do the thing where you make the condom make the sound. What is the end sound?
Suction. but
But I just got a text from Nate Kiley who said the director added the sound of an IUD being inside there.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers.
I will say this too. No one in this movie knows really what sex sounds like because there's another moment in the film where someone's being decapitated outside of the cabin. She's like, sex. I'm like, those are not similar.
I mean, I feel like that's a classic like horror trope, though, like mistaking women's pain for pleasure. I mean,
but it wasn't like oh, it was like whoosh, clunk 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 clunk. it wasn't like it like was because he was like, what are you doing, taking a shit in there after he had that sex scene with her? She's like, he's like, taking a shit.
I love that. I love that they're like, we got to get out of here. And he immediately is like, it's fun to drive this thing. What are you taking a shit?
I'm just saying that people don't, like, and I know what you're saying, Jun, and I agree with you. Like, yes, but these are sounds that are not near. It was screaming because she was being beaten by a monster and the other person got their head bashed in.
I did find it interesting that Jason decapitated Sissy and then hauled her body away, because that seemed very un-Jason like. And I don't know if that was just a move so young Nancy could get freaked out, but Jason's whole persona is that he's completely blank. Like, he doesn't
what's his motivation? I'm being serious. I was like, what is he like? If you don't kill him, does he just keep on going? Who is he looking for?
Tommy
But if he kills Tommy, I think he would just keep on going.
I think, yeah. No, I do think you're right. I think he is.
And why would he kill Tommy?
But what I agree with you is, like, why he doesn't seem at all concerned. Like, why is he, like, if he kills someone, my impression is he would just, like, a senseless killing machine, keep moving forward. Why does he know to move the bodies, to hide the things?
Not only does he move Sissy's, does he carry Sissy's body away, but he takes her head and plants it in one of the police cars.
Yes.
They find Sissy's head.
Very Agatha Christie. I mean, that's what I like about it.
Ooh, when Poirot showed up in this movie. You know what this, you know what the Jason movies could use? A little Miss Marple.
Get me Kenneth Branagh.
I would love it if Kenneth Branagh like mashed it up with the next Agatha Christie adaptation had Jason Voorhees in it. And Poirot shows up.
But also, what was happening in that room when they walk into that one room and the blood is everywhere and you just see like part of a skull on the floor? Like, did he bring someone back in there and just like have a paint party with their blood?
Well, he killed the woman. What's her name? Sissy's friend.
Right.
Sissy and Megan's friend. What's her name?
The one who had all the clothes on.
Yeah, the one who's wearing all of the clothes.
It could be
her. The entirety Lisbeth? Of her blood is spread across that one cabin. She's the only person killed inside that room.
And that was her skull on the ground.
I mean,
I don't think it was anybody else's.
Yeah, that's her. I think I feel, and I felt this when we met her, she put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There are a lot of other people killed in this movie who seem to just like immediately accept their fate.
Here's the other thing. She felt to me like the person who, by the logic of this movie, the person most deserving to live, right?
Right.
She is never, she never has sex. She never transgresses in any meaningful way. She's only looking out for the little kids. She's like, she seems to me to be the quintessential final girl.
Right.
But instead it's Megan who is the final girl whose actions cause the deaths of Megan and Tommy
are
posited as the heroes of this movie. They are the villains.
But my issue is why,
Megan is horny for murder.
And
she is so excited by she's so excited by all of this. I'm going to come pick you up. It's going to be so crazy.
She's not motivated by like the 40 children who are sleeping in this camp.
And in her care.
And under,
she
yes,
is
under her
a counselor
at that
camp.
Listen, I know what it is to be a counselor. I understand.
I'm just
it's
saying,
a huge responsibility.
She is shirking her duties. She's driving around in town chasing boys. And guess what? There's a murderer in the camp. Wait,
but my favorite moment of the movie is towards the end when Tommy's in the water. He's kind of blowing her off as he's tying a lot of steel chains around a rock. She's like, my dad. He's like, hold on. I got it. I got to do this rock thing. And he goes, go get the kids. And then you hear the kids scream. She runs, does what is the actionable thing, to run to save the kids. Like, no, don't. They're done. Come back. Like, he's actively telling her, don't save the children.
These people...
It's too late for them.
Like, these people put a boulder in a boat. How? How do they get that boulder into the boat?
I mean, it was
that boat is like a very small...
It's a dinghy.
It's a dinghy.
Dinghy, yeah.
I mean, the plan for the end is really stupid because Jason is coming at Tommy, and Tommy is like, it's like the slowest lasso. He's like, okay, I got it. Like, that would mean that Jason not only is just a mindless killing machine, but like literally he can't put anything together. Like, he doesn't see anything. He sees colors and shapes. That's it.
And now I don't know how I would react if Jason walked up to me. Jason
you don't?
In the movie.
You don't have any clue how you would react.
Okay, well, actually, I think I would react in a way that would spare me.
In what circumstance? Like in the
in
the middle of the day.
Yes.
At a Chipotle.
Yes.
Well, this is my point, though. I think I would do the one thing that Jason cannot do, and that's run. He can only, I mean, I don't know about the other movies, but it seems he maxes out at a Just
a steady gait. Not even a gait. No. Just like a steady
walk.
No,
he has like a consistent stride.
It's a stride and it's lumbering and it's purposeful.
If you look at his pedometer at the end of the day, he's getting 12,000 steps.
Well, he's getting his steps
he's
in.
He's getting so
getting
many steps.
His steps in. He's counting his points and he's getting his steps in.
Oh, yeah.
But he never picks up that pace.
Because he knows you're eventually going to fall down.
It's just so crazy. I mean, I guess this is just run till you fall. General, but it's just like, just run. It's the one thing he cannot do.
Well, I mean, look, would you also say that this movie is more of an Amex movie or more of a Visa movie?
Amex?
I mean, well,
Amex
because I was like,
way,
like, don't leave home without it. But she did bring it, and it didn't help her. So I think it's more of a subtle ad for Visa. Maybe he would have taken Visa or Diners Club. They really linger on a photocopy of an Amex card. This movie couldn't even afford to get a prop Amex card. It was like, just photocopy it. No one will know.
Here's my question.
Just cut out two numbers. It'll be fine.
Is Diners Club International still happening?
Oh, how is there not a Discovery card in this movie?
But do people still have Discovery cards and Diners Club cards?
I can't imagine they do. Well, yes?
I think
yes.
They do.
Everybody in this audience bought
somebody
their tickets
here
on Diners Club card?
There's nobody in this audience who has a Diners Club card.
They accept it at her store. They accept Diners Club
at her
store.
They accept Diners Club at your store? What store
she
is it?
She sells restaurants.
Bookstore? A bookstore. Okay, so an obsolete thing accepts an obsolete form of payment? Got it. I'd like to use a Diners Club card to buy this book. And I'll close the gate when I'm done because this industry is over. I'm just kidding. I love books.
And I love Diners Club. There was also one other thing I wanted to bring up before we get into the audience that I thought was odd. That the sheriff's deputy calls Megan, the sheriff's daughter, babe.
Yeah. I thought they were dating. In that moment when he said that,
right.
I thought, oh, are they supposed to have been a couple? Is that what? Because he
calls
her.
Oh, are they contemporaries too?
I don't know.
Think so.
Everybody seemed to be the same age, 50. No, when he said that, I genuinely thought, oh, maybe they are supposed to have been established, and I just missed it as either a couple or a potential couple, and so he sees Tommy as a threat. I don't know, but I thought that was confusing.
Do you guys think that Deputy Rick Cologne was dating Megan?
I'm sorry, Deputy Rick Cologne?
Yep.
Is his name?
Yep.
Wow. Changing my name tomorrow.
I'm Deputy Rick Cologne.
All I want to know...
The best a man can get.
Here's what I want to know is, can I still get a subscription to Men at Play magazine? Which is what Sissy is reading at one point in her bunk at camp. Men at Play magazine. What is that?
I wish they had done some close-ups.
I wish there was like... I wish it had been like... promo material for the movie was
full.
I will tell you, the only time I ever saw Playgirl was very young in my life.
Here we go. Was it your mom's Playgirl?
It was not my mom's Playgirl. Like I was like, we're looking for nudie magazines, which way you can get it. Like, well, what's in this one? And it was a man sailing on, I remember this image.
Wait,
so
where
clearly.
Did you get it?
It was like on the bus, and everyone was like, look at this. I was like, great.
What do you mean it was just on the bus?
Well, according to the
bus doesn't come with nudie magazines.
The kid on the bus said his dad had and now as I say it out loud,
his dad had Playgirl. A kid on the bus brought a nudie magazine and it was Playgirl. His dad's nudie magazine was a Playgirl?
This is how I remember the story being told to me. That his dad had a safe room full of nudie magazines, and he could only take one at a time, and he would bring different nudie magazines onto the bus.
Wait, his dad was giving, like, doling them out?
No, that he could only steal one at a time.
Was it a library? Did he have to, like, punch it out? You can keep this one for two weeks.
My middle school brain just assumed that he could only heist one before it would go unnoticed.
Because his dad was doing, like, daily inventory.
Yes.
Because his dad's going to the safe room full of porno magazines.
Honestly,
what was, now in adulthood, what was that kid's life?
I have no idea. All I know is that I traded for a penthouse air freshener.
What?
Yeah.
What does that even smell like?
What do you mean?
For real, what does that smell like?
What do you mean?
Imagine, if you will, an erotic air freshener.
I can't.
What does it smell like?
By the way, who's putting that up in their car?
What do you mean you traded for it?
Like, yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what did you have to offer?
What did you do for that, babe?
I feel like it was some sort of Star Wars figure.
Ooh.
For
a penthouse air freshener?
Yeah, like it may have been like three Star Wars figures for a penthouse air
freshener. I just imagine it's like kind of a woman in silhouette.
Oh, I remember exactly.
And
no,
it just
no
is
silhouette.
Like the scent is beef.
It was cut to her body. Like, so it was like a woman like on her knees out, but it was like in the shape of her body. And when I got it, there was no smell.
So was a used air freshener?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a brand new one.
Because the guy and his dad had done all the smelling. It was like...
Got it.
Dad, can I take this air freshener for a day?
The only thing that I remember in this Playgirl was a guy on a yacht, and he was putting up a sail like this, and he just had a raging hard on, and it was very sporty. And when I saw that,
it was very sporty.
Yeah, because it was sort of like,
you don't just get to say it was very sporty and let it kind of go away. It was very sport. Is that like? Has that stuck with you?
Do you
that
mean it image, was like a sporty
erection? Sporty boner?
Like what?
What does that mean?
What was surprising to me, I think why it stuck with me until this day, and I haven't thought about it in years, is that it was an activity that was non-sexual that I was like, huh. It's like Orlando Bloom, like when he was paddleboarding with his dick out. You're like, oh, that's a thing you can do? Okay. Like, it just seemed like...
Sporty.
Yeah, it just seemed like,
It seems sporty.
I'm like,
when
I'm sailing.
When I'm a grown-up, I might sail nude with a
full erection. Yeah, I might just be like, got to put up this sail.
Isn't that interesting that that's an integral part of your sexual identity? Is understanding that one might get a boner while yachting?
But it wasn't just like getting a boner. It was like, I'm going to...
Fuck this boat?
I'm going to like... launch this sail with a full-on erection. Like, it wasn't like...
Oh, I can win the America's Cup with this fucking mast. set the mainsail, Sloop John B.
All I'm saying is I identify with hearing the title of that magazine.
Wow.
I love that a kid brought a Playgirl as a nudie mag, and everybody was like, we're all getting this as part of it. Sporty boners, I'm in.
It was like, for as long as that kid was on the bus, there was always some sort of like
something to look at.
Yeah, something there.
And we were relegated to whatever we could find in the swamp or the woods.
We had the safe room full of porno.
That's very lucky.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the audience. Ooh. And
please.
All right, sir, your sound of a condom being taken off in your question.
John?
Paul, I'm going to ask you to stop going to men for this.
I'm trying to get some more...
I'm going to need some ladies to raise their hands, please.
I'm looking for some lady hands. All right, here we go.
I'm looking for some lady hands? That's a t-shirt. I'm looking for some lady hands, and then just two hands. One, and you have to figure out which is the ladies. That's a t-shirt. Guys, someone's writing these down, right?
All right, sir, your question.
How many is too many pictures to hang in your RV by one nail?
It's a good question. A lot of things hung in the RV.
I didn't notice that.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because the scene where What's-his-face is driving the RV. I mean, he's trying to kill that woman. He's trying to murder her. There's no way. If she had not been killed by Jason, she would have died in the back of the RV.
100%.
I mean, she wouldn't have survived.
The first thing to fly out of that RV in the most expensive stunt in the film was a TV. Like a full-sized TV.
Really?
Yeah. It was just like,
I missed that.
Yeah, it just flew on the road. Maybe you were watching it, not Letterboxd like I was watching it. Where they have the condom sounds in multiple scenes.
I was watching it on an old Zune.
All right, ma'am, your condom sound, your name, your question.
I guess there is no sound because it's not that hard to put on.
Okay, but take off.
All right, Paul, just stop.
Oh, boy.
That's also not my job.
All right, not her job. All right.
Not my job?
Fair enough.
I will say, ladies, you have to take charge of your safe sex, I think.
That's right? Actually true.
No? So name, is it not anybody's job? Whose job is it? My job?
I think it's the man's job to take off his own condom and deal with it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, ladies, you can take off my condom if you want.
Jason,
You can also leave it on for as long as you need.
I'm still wearing one from 3 yeah. years ago.
You should definitely take that off.
Because some lady didn't take it off. It smells terrible.
All right, ma'am, your question.
So we're a bunch of former day camp counselors and like summer camp counselors.
I see you.
Thank you.
I see you.
Where did those kids come from? Like, because that lady shoves them out of the bus and is like, they're yours now.
Yeah.
Well, that's what was weird. It also seemed like they were just there for the weekend.
Right. Well, they kept on saying, we can't run this summer camp because two people aren't here, but yet they were more than the two. They didn't seem that understaffed.
I think they were understaffed. That's a lot of kids, ratio.
Here's what we only saw, let's see, three female counselors, but only one male counselor, right? So there's got to be other...
Well, there was the head counselor who was killed.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
So how many people are at this camp and how many... What is this? Is there a nurse? Is there an administrative staff? Like, I've got, like, four counselors max and a bunch of campers.
Everyone's wearing a lot of hats.
For me, I wouldn't send my kids there.
Okay.
I don't have kids, but I wouldn't send them there.
But none of them died, so they did a great job.
Yeah.
Ma'am, your name, your question. Here we go.
Becky, did anybody else notice the abrupt, kind of scary change of tone from the little girl who's scared the whole time, and then when the counselor says, let's go back and whatever, she's like, okay. Like, she spends, like, three scenes being like,
yeah.
And then in a second, she's like, okay.
What's weird about the counselor who's wearing all the clothes, is, and I did really like her and appreciate her, but she is holding, that little girl brings a bloody machete to her, and she has no reaction to it.
And
that little
fact,
girl doesn't lead with the bloody machete either. She's like, hey, there's a strange man outside my window. Oh, yeah, and then I also have this bloody machete.
They've set her up as like a girl who cries wolf. She's scared of monsters. She's scared. She had a bad dream. She's blah, blah, blah. But then she walks in. The minute you see a bloody machete, you can't be like, they're just messing around, you know?
And if, by the way, this is how they mess around, like, that's troubling.
Yes. Also, like, nobody seems to be nervous when their friends disappear. You know, because that woman is like, oh my God, it's so late. I can't believe they're still not here. And I don't know, maybe as a counselor, you're like, it's totally normal to, once the campers are asleep, disappear for hours into the woods.
Listen, thank you for accrediting me.
I don't know if that's accreditation. I don't know. I don't know that you can get college credit right now.
As a counselor, well, I was a counselor before cell phones, so... No, it is related, because...
A pre-cell phone counselor?
I was a pre-cell phone counselor, so you didn't have access to people. I mean, I yearn for those days again.
We all yearn for pre-cell phone days.
Yes. But I remember, you couldn't keep track of everybody, so... I don't know.
That was your stated job. Your job was to keep track of everyone.
Of course you'd keep track of the kids. Of course it was. Counselors.
It was harder when they didn't have GPS machines in their pockets, but...
I mean, those head counselors had been gone for days. They never showed up.
Completely absent.
Yeah.
All right. I have a question up here. Ma'am, your name, your question. What do you got?
I have. Before we get to that, Paul, one question very quickly. Who is the woman that the guy is having sex with in the trailer? Is she a counselor?
Yes, she's a
counselor. Wait, say it again, Jason.
Who is the woman that the guy is having sex with in the trailer?
Counselor.
Is she a counselor as well, or is she just a trailer townie?
I mean, she's both, I think. I think all of these counselors are also townies.
You think they're locals who are counselors
and
townies?
Well, Megan's a counselor and she's a townie.
That's true, I guess.
I think Sissy's a townie.
Were you a counselor in your town?
No. I was a day camp counselor in my town, but okay. I was not an overnight counselor in my own town.
Were you ever an overnight counselor?
Yes.
Wow. Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. All right.
Yesterday, Michael Myers, Freddy Child's Play, Jason Voorhees hunting Crystal Lake. Oh, all the thrills have gone away. Secondly, opinions twice the stars they ought to be. How could this have ever frightened me? Oh, give me some anxiety. Why they had to rate it 5 stars, I couldn't say. Seems this film was shot, am I wrong, in just a day. Yesterday.
Amazing. Give it up for your names.
Malia.
Malia. And who?
Danny.
Give it up for Malia and Danny.
Wow.
Well done.
Those were amazing second opinion songs.
I could not take my eyes off of those two.
Their harmonies were beautiful.
Beautiful.
Amazing. These are 5-star reviews, culled from Amazon.com. There are 381 reviews of this film. 68% are 5-star. And
wow. We
will get right into it. This one's written by Andrew Lynch. I will say that when we announced this film, people were upset. This is like one of their favorite Jason films. I think because of all the things we talked about, the kind of the comparisons to Scream, the light, the fun of all of it. But these people take it pretty seriously. Okay. Andrew Lynch writes, not a lot of people dig it because Jason looks like a zombie, whereas number 5 was kind of disappointing with the fake killer or imposter Jason. But here, you get a good story, lots of gore, and kills worthy of being called Friday the 13th. I remember I used to watch these with my mom as a kid. My favorite thing to this day is still part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. I grew up in New York all my life, so my mom would say, be good, or Jason will take you to Camp Crystal Lake himself. Good times.
This is a lot like your parenting.
I know. The drunk caretaker is the best. He reminds me of my landlord. If you're a collector, or a fan, or a first-timer, you can't go wrong. 5 out of 5 stars. It's Jason. What's not the love? This one is written by Call Me Dupe. The movie's titled Jason Lives. This is clearly a problem because Jason has died and he's risen from the grave. So now he's definitely not living. He's a walking corpse who somehow experienced no muscle deterioration from his years in a coffin. The end.
5 stars?
Yep.
Despite it all.
Wow.
This one is written by SR. At first, I didn't like this movie, but my child had never seen it. Child. So I ordered it, and guess what? Now, I really like it. 5 stars.
What? Is the transaction simply that the child needs to see it for him to like it?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's probably a lot of movies the child hasn't seen.
I feel like this kid was like, I like meatballs, Dad, which is a bizarre thing.
And the dad was like, here's Faces of Death.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's also a movie with kids at a summer camp.
Wow.
This one is the one that I really wanted to read. This is by V.K. Managlavarius. And he writes, as I said in my part 5 review, people, in all caps, must stop giving false information. Why are you giving false information by saying wrongly that Tommy went to Jason's grave at the beginning, like part 5 never existed? Are you well, my friend? Do you need a doctor? Yes, Tommy, with a friend, went to Jason's grave and resurrected him by accident, but this is not meant that that part 5 was ignored, as you wrongly said, because my friend put in the DVD of part 6 again in the DVD player, and we watched the beginning when Tommy, and this is all in caps, and his friend were talking in the car before they reached Jason's grave, saying that they escaped from the mental institute where Tommy was in part 5 in order to go and cremate Jason's body so that Tommy's Jason nightmares would be over. Okay? All those nightmares he had from part 5. And Tommy's friend said they would be crazy to escape, and if they would, they'd be caught. Then they'd be in trouble. And you, my friend, dare say that part 5 never happened? From now on, be careful of what you say. And all of you who wrongly try to bury a great sequel like part 5, because there are true Jason fans out there, like me, who know the truth and don't take your bullshit easily. You got it, my friend? Nuss said, 5 stars.
I love that this 5-star review has multiple threats in it.
Who is this conversation with?
Who is this? This basically is about fake news.
I mean, it is someone called Mr. Pumpkin Man.
Mr. Pumpkin Man?
Yeah. The tagline, this tagline I think is actually pretty clever. If you think it's hard to keep a good man down, try keeping a bad one. I guess it should be down.
If you think it's hard keeping a good man down, try keeping a bad one.
If you think down. It's hard to down. Keep a good man down, .. try keeping down a bad one.
That's actually Wait. Not a good line.
It's concise. If it makes you think.
If you think it's hard keeping a good man down,
this is the it's one.
Try
keeping a bad man hard.
On a yacht.
Sporty.
Sporty. Try keeping a sporty boner hard on a yacht.
This one.
On a catamaran.
This one I think is tricky because in the grand scheme of the Nightmare on Elm Street franchises, the nightmare returns. Well, that would mean that would be a Freddy movie.
Sure.
Seems like that was a really rough one. This movie's budget was $3 million. Its opening weekend was $6 million. It was the first Jason film not to gross $20 million. It came in number 46 out of all the movies made in 1986. The top 3 movies are Top Gun, Crocodile Dundee, and Platoon. This movie was beaten by Cobra, Howard the Duck, Maximum Overdrive. Oh, wow. Oh, sorry. This movie was beaten by Cobra. This movie beat Howard the Duck, Maximum Overdrive, Shanghai Surprise, Rad, and Solar Babies.
Wow. Wait, sorry. What year is this?
1986.
Thank you.
The director has Jason's cemetery grave in his front yard with a piece of the leg coming out of it, and a city employee refused to enter his yard to read the meter because he thought a real body was buried there. Anyone want to take a guess on how many kills were made in this movie? Well, them. 18, you're right. 18 kills.
Here's the thing. Why do so many people know? That means all of you who said it were counting, and that's weird. Why are you counting? Like, one, two, three. No, you missed the woman in the puddle of mud. Oh, right. Puddle of mud woman.
Jason June, any final thoughts before we ask if you're going to recommend it? Anything that we didn't mention?
There were a couple of things. Tony Goldwyn really blew my mind. Like, I love, because there's all these, like, it seems to me that, like, Johnny Depp in the original Nightmare on Elm Street, like, young, like, I love that horror movies of the 80s are the proving ground for, like, the young talent going forward. That always,
young talent that looks 50.
Yes.
Well, I think that speech that one character gives about the American Indians is such a crazy...
I rewound that. I had to watch it twice. I couldn't make heads or tails of what he was saying.
I kind of was impressed with the commitment of it. I'll just play a section of it here.
Listen, you obviously don't know anything about Indians, okay? Probably none of you do.
Paul, will you pause for a second? So are we to believe that underneath this is a gray tank top? Because later, when he's boning down in the trailer, he's just wearing a gray tank top.
Well, that's your safe sex tank top.
Yes, the condom tank top? Okay, got it.
Let's just say you have a chief, right? And he dumps his squaw or his wife or whatever, and he decides, hey, I'm going to pick up with another one. I'm going to take off with her. So he takes off, leaving his son with the mother, and all of a sudden, you know, a week or two later, the son wants to catch up with his dad, right? He wants to learn how to shoot a bow, stuff, you know, kill buffalo, whatever these guys do. So what happens is he comes along, sees the rock, says, Dad, hey, he went that way, obviously. And so what happens is he comes up, knocks them all down before the mother catches up, because he doesn't want to see any of her anymore. So, you know, pretty much that's the basic story. Tells you where they go.
If this is as exciting as it gets, we're in big trouble, dude.
I mean, imagine if the whole movie was those two kids. They are crushing.
I mean, basically, it would be Salute Your Shorts with Jason, which I would be down with.
I loved that that Jason broke the dad in half. When Jason killed the sheriff dad, he like folded him like he was like putting a t-shirt away.
June, anything else?
No, I mean, we've covered it. It's hard. I will recommend watching this movie. The movie to me, I did get lost in it. So many of the movies we watch are so painful to consume. And this, I did enjoy just the viewing of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I had no expectations for it. Once you know you're on number six, like, there's no expectation that it will be anything but terrible. But it does make some moves that are interesting and surprising. I guess I like this movie.
I enjoyed it. I also would I would recommend it. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
I would too. I think it has a lot of fun stuff, and I feel like if the studio committed to letting it be a little bit more of what it wanted to be, I think it could have even been better, because there are a lot of things that you feel like they also then paid off on the things that they went back and forth
on. It also doesn't get mired in a lot of unnecessary plotting.
Yes.
Like, it really is kind of vignettes. Like, it really is. You're always being introduced to new people. You get a taste of them. They get murdered. Moving on. And that made it kind of fun to watch, because you're never like, oh, these people again, because it's always killing and recycling.
It's the Altman version of these Jason movies. It's like...
Okay, Unspooled. This is not the Nashville version. This is not Nashville for horror movies.
It took the words right out of my mouth. You know, I think Spike Lee said it best when he was on our show.
Boo.
You
always...
I did love the fact that he took three heads off with one machete chop.
Loved.
And why was that paintballer so like mad at that woman and carrying a machete to a paintball match.
He was like a misogynist in the woods at a paintball company retreat, like chopping stuff. Like, why was he allowed to bring a machete?
Because Jason needed one. That was the only justification. It was like, I guess we got to get him a machete anyway. He can't go to Home Depot.
At the end of the movie, Tommy successfully gets a chain around Jason's neck, dumps the boulder in the river. Jason is then, like, trapped at the bottom of the river, right?
Yes.
That's the idea. That's how they manage to save the day, everything. Then it cuts to daytime, everything's good. And they have chosen to leave Jason at the bottom of the river. But we have to assume police have now come. Police have, like, talked to Megan. They've talked to Tommy. They've talked to the campers. And they're like, he's right there. I weighed him down with a boulder.
Yeah.
And the police were like, well, we're going to have to get him out of there. And like, no, no, no. Leave him in the river.
Well,
leave him in the lake.
I have two questions about this. One, Tommy decides, based, I guess, on those books that he read, that he needs to put Jason back in the traumatic incident to kill him for good, which is fucked up, just on an emotional level.
Because he was never killed there, but...
Oh, I guess you're right, yeah.
And also because you can't kill him because he is the living dead.
Well, yeah, but
he's
here's...
He's, like, just awake underwater.
But here's the thing that I'm most confused about, and I can't believe we didn't bring this up. They take an outboard boat motor to Jason, and it seems to chop him up. You would think it would cut off his head, cut off his chest, do something. He seems to be fine.
Totally intact.
Like Wolverine fine.
He's got a healing factor.
So what was happening? What happened?
I don't know.
I don't know, because there was blood in the water.
By the way, they shot some of that in the director's pool and fucked up his pool filter.
And chunks. It was blood and chunks, and you got a sense that real damage was being done
but
to him by the
motor. But he was totally fine.
But like this guy, like, does he come back in 7?
Yeah, of course.
And he's fine, right?
Of course.
He was fine at the end of the movie. He's there with the boulder. Eye opens. Like, all right, let's do it again.
Now, why can't Jason... He's awake, right? Underwater. Pull himself like this... Right? Further down.
Right.
Loosening the chain. Off. That's all he has to do. That's it. Provide. Loosen the tension by dragging your own self down. Loosen. And you're out.
Boom. I mean, by the way, the way that they show his strength in this movie, you could say he would just break that chain with his bare hands.
He also survived the RV's complete... He stabs... Cody, or whatever that kid's name in the head. The what?
Quart.
Okay, Quart. They should have named him Cody. Stabs Cody in the head. The whole thing flip-flops upside down, and Jason's like, I'm okay. So you think just putting him on a rock at the bottom is going to hold him? No way.
He could probably just drag that rock right out.
He could have just like, yes. Also, here's the, Jason. Pull, pull, pull. Now, feet on the bottom of the lake. Walk, drag, walk, drag, walk, drag. I'm out. Murder, 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 murder. That's it. Like, it's not a satisfying method of defeating him.
I think they realize that they can't really kill him too severely because he's got to come back.
I guess so.
Well, there we did. We've really broken it down. And this is your premier horror podcast. How did this get made? We know all the ins and outs. We've given you the most thorough explanation of Jason and condom removal sounds. A big shout out to Avril Halley, who is here tonight, our amazing producer. She's here. Give it up for her. Also, our engineer, Devin, killing it over there. Beth Thomas, our stage manager. She's amazing. Thank you, everybody here in Berkeley.
Yeah! You did it, Berkeley!
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. All right, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, everyone, for coming out to that really fun show at Berkeley. I know it was hot. If you were in that crowd, the AC was not working, and we appreciate you all sticking it out to talk Jason Voorhees with us. Again, a big tip of the hat to our producer, Avril Halley, who pulls all of these movies and finds these amazing experiences for us to share with
all of you. Devin is out there engineering the board, making it sure it sounds good. I mean, it's a live show, it's complicated, and it does sound so, so good. Also, just a reminder, if you're not watching Big Mouth, guess who's in it? Jason, June, and me. That's right, Big Mouth Season 3, available on Netflix right now. And June Diane Raphael wrote a book. It's called Represent, A Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. You can check out that book wherever books are sold or on Amazon. And you can also check out The Jane Club, which we recently talked about in a mini episode. It's June's social club that caters to creating an amazing community. Go to thejaneclub.com or follow them on Instagram. And as I've said previously, The Good Place is back on NBC. And guess what that means? It's the final season. So who's returning? Well, I don't know. Jason's been on that show. I've been on that show. I wonder what will happen. I guess you'll just have to tune in and watch to see how it all shakes out. And also, if you're not listening to Unspooled, check it out. We've had some really fun episodes recently. Last week, we did The Godfather, and that's a great place to kind of start on the show. A classic film, and kind of get a taste of what we've been doing over at Unspooled. And a big thank you to everybody else who helps us out. Nate Kiley with his amazing research, and of course, Kyle Waldron with his amazingly cool Instagram art. Also, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson has been designing some really classic art for us right now. Like I always say, head on over to tpublic.com/store/hdtgm to check out our shirt, which is a very special Jason Mantzoukas, Jason Voorhees mashup shirt. It's available right now in the store. A big thanks to Cody Fisher, another one of our producers, and Josh Richmond, and everybody at Earwolf for making this show sound so good. Tune in next week for a mini episode and give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK to have any questions about this film answered or just to have a question about your own personal life answered. I take great care in making sure that I give you the best advice I can. So we'll see you next week for a mini episode, 619-PAUL-ASK. Bye for now.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.